This podcast is brought to you by Deepbridge Capital LLP. Deepbridge is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. Please note that investments discussed are both illiquid and high risk and won't be suitable for all investors and should be considered as part of a diversified portfolio. The content of this podcast should not be construed as financial or taxation advice. We recommend investors seek appropriate professional financial advice. Any views expressed may no longer be current and may have already been acted upon. Welcome to this latest Deepbridge Discovery podcast. My name's Andrew Aldridge. The purpose of this podcast is to bring to life the people and the companies behind Deepbridge and what we do. So this week, I'm delighted to be joined by Olivia Drinnen, who's Strategic Partnership Manager here at Deepbridge. We're going to be talking about a series of events that we recently held about educating advisors around tax efficient investments. So Liv, great to have you.
Thank you.
Thanks for being with us. Start with, tell us a bit about yourself and your role at Deepbridge.
Yeah, so I am Strategic Partnerships Manager here at Deepbridge. And my role is to basically be incredibly passionate and to about tax efficient products or investments. Yep. And to educate advisors and through our strategic partnership network or even with our kind of competitors off the other fund managers in the market.
Brilliant. And well, you definitely bring the passion to it, and I think your role also travels a lot of miles, a lot of traveling around the country.
There's a bit of that involved.
If there's an IFA in the UK that hasn't seen you present yet, then I'll be amazed.
I'm gonna hunt them down.
Absolutely.
Find them.
I think you should. So recently Deepbridge, led by yourself and a number of our peers in the market, ran a series of advisor kit bag events at sports stadiums around the country. Can you just tell a bit about the purpose of the events and what we're looking to get out of it?
Yeah, of course. So I suppose the kind of bare bones, the original idea was to provide the advisor community an opportunity to learn about tax efficient products in a time where tax has never been so high.
Yep.
And we wanted to deliberately make it really different. I think it was kind of our idea to really inject the Deepbridge personality.
Yeah, that passion you mentioned before.
The passion, yeah. So we chose to do it at really iconic stadiums across the UK, hence all the travelling. Thanks, Andrew. And we had loads of fun in it. We had very short pitches, 20-minute pitches from each fund managers, five of us in total.
Not necessarily pitches, but educational pieces, weren't they?
Yeah, pitches is definitely not the right word, actually. I'm glad you've corrected me there. It was very contextual information based on, what is the UK today? Why is it important to recommend these products? But also focusing around that kind of myth-busting concept, because there are lots of preconceptions about tax-efficient investments in the industry. So, and then we did panel sessions as well. So we did a structured panel session with questions that we had collated together as kind of a team of five providers, questions that we know advisors ask a lot.
Yep.
And then we opened it up to the audience, which was definitely my favorite bit. And it really felt very collaborative. It was, an opportunity to have five providers in one room and challengers. And I think that's what, from the feedback anyway, a lot of advisors came away and said that it was just a unique opportunity and really interesting to hear also what their peers were asking.
Yeah. To understand the kind of themselves as well.
And also,
I guess it's kind of, my understanding is that it was very informal events, very conversational, trying to make sure that people felt included and it didn't seem like some kind of preachy kind of session, which is always good.
Exactly. You know my style, it's not formal. So I couldn't have done that if I tried. Yeah. But actually, you hit the nail on the head there. It became, even though at some points we had over 100 people in the room, up to 130 people in a room, it still felt like we were in a big meeting room together and we had a lot of laughs, giggles, a lot of talk about IHT on EastEnders, things like that. It was really good fun.
So who were the other peers that we were working with? Who are our competitors?
Yes, our competitors. It's funny because people say, I can't believe how much you work with your competitors in the industry. But actually, it's something that I really pride ourselves at Deepbridge for. We have incredibly strong relationships with the other fund managers or our competitors in the market. And why wouldn't we? We're all we're all kind of searching for that same outcome, which is good outcomes for our clients, strong relationships with advisors, you know, and we're all, you know, trying to get everyone on board with tax efficient investments, which actually is, and I'll go on to later, a lot less of a challenge than it was when I started out in this
and it's still a niche product, I guess, in the market.
I don't agree.
No, but I think that's how it's perceived.
Stop you right there.
I'm delighted with that. But I think that's how it's perceived. Yeah, and I think the more that we can work with our peers to encourage people to be looking at this sector, to look at what they should be doing, then it's got to be good for all of us, I guess, which is kind of why it's good for us to work together.
Exactly. Yeah, we've all fallen into the trap of saying, you know, this is niche, but it really isn't anymore. And that just makes it easier. And I think that's a product of the fact that we have worked so well with our competitors.
Yep.
But to answer your original question, the other fund managers were Foresight, Triple Point, Puma, and Time Investments. Nearly forgot one then. Kill me.
They'll be on the phone to you straight away after.
I know.
And what were the key themes and messages that you picked up across the events? Not necessarily that you wanted to get across, but what did you pick up from it?
It's a really nice question. I think there were definite themes. I think the most kind of interesting ones for me, and this is really echoed if you speak to our investment managers, is that venture capital actually performs really well in times of crisis, which we're obviously going through at the moment with all the instability in the market. And I just think it's an incredible opportunity to get involved in early stage businesses that are essentially a diversifier against those other investments in your portfolio. If you look at Apple, if I always say to people, think about these big companies like Apple, for example. They're like cruise ships. Mm-hmm. And when you go through times of turbulence, they find it difficult to be agile and react to the turn to the tides or the waves. And that's why they would acquire these smaller businesses with that level of agility, with the reaction, and allow them to explore different avenues, different marketplaces. At the second point, we're talking about unquoted business relief, like the Deepbridge Estate Planning Service.
Yep.
We're obviously talking about high-risk products deemed by the
FCA. Illiquid, unquoted.
Illiquid, unquoted. But actually, these investments are typically asset-backed.
Yep.
They invest in renewable energy, like the Deepbridge proposition, which is, you know, predicted to have good steady returns in the future. They've obviously got access to government subsidies, and also they target that kind of steady eddy, I always say steady eddy approach, you know, 3-5% return. So then you think, well, lots of advisors in the room were saying, well, I think of business relief as, okay, whatever I invest of my client's money, I'm going to get 40% inheritance tax on that amount. Should I hold it for 2 years and at the point of death? So ultimately, the value of that investment would have to drop below 40% for my client to be impacted. If you bring all of that together, actually, although it is a high-risk product, it can be suitable and it is recommended today to clients in the lower risk profiles. Should they need inheritance tax relief, need it on a shorter basis, the two years, and the big one, need to retain access to the capital.
And I think you've done presentations alongside and for large compliance service providers, networks, etc. And I think the general feedback we get from them is very similar to that, in the sense that, you know, if appropriate for the client and it's trying to achieve the right outcome for the client.
Exactly.
Then, you know, nothing's off the table, if you like.
Yeah, exactly. And I think with consumer duty rules coming into place, advisors, especially if you're a whole of market advisor, you can't really discount these products anymore just because they're high risk. If they are going to be the best outcome for your client, you need to offer that as an option. And you're also running the risk of clients going elsewhere if you don't know about these products as well, which can be a risk to their own business. And
that kind of point, was that coming back from advisors as well as from the panel?
It came directly. There's a great example of it actually in the recorded webinar that we're going to host soon to be announced, the date of that, where an advisor was saying, actually, I find it really difficult to write reports on this as high risk. And was asking us about that, and then this was kind of the outcome of the conversation. So,
very interesting. Okay. So, what kind of questions were advisors specifically asking? Other than that,
loads of great questions. I think the ones that maybe I've jotted down a few that were the most common questions. Interestingly, a lot, we've talked about in this kind of session, a lot about inheritance tax or business relief, but actually the questions were definitely more focused on EIS and VCT, Enterprise Investment Scheme, and Venture Capital Trusts. And I think that's because they are exciting, right?
They're the sexy end of investing, aren't they?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so the big question is, what is the difference between EIS and VCT, which is a great question. And I like to use the analogy. I like to talk about the structural differences because I think that's really important when you're getting your head around the differences. You might have said in the past, well, EIS is maybe earlier stage and VCT later stage. But me and you both know that that's just not the case anymore.
Hunting in the same pools these
days. And I think that that has a lot to say that VCT providers, we don't obviously offer a VCT at DeepBridge, but I do think they've seen the benefit of getting involved in early stage businesses and being there for the journey to the point of the exit.
Absolutely.
So that is why they want to get involved. And that kind of shows you really, you know, the positivity around early stage investing. But I like to talk about it, as I said, on a structural level. So I like to say in an EIS, if I invested 100K today, that would go into a certain amount, probably around 10.
Let's say 10 companies.
Let's say 10. At real life early stage companies, and I would own shares in those individual companies, right? Kind of preaching to the converted here. I'm just literally educating the expert. But with a VCT, imagine we're all in a swimming pool together and we all invest in a VCT. That money, and everyone laughs at that point because I think everyone thinks that we're naked in a swimming pool together. We're not. We're fully clothed.
I was going to say, it was very informal, these events, weren't they?
Very. The swimming pool came after the event. So we're all in it, you know, we're all putting that money into the pool. And then that money will be used to fund these companies at whatever stage they are. When those companies come to exit, the money would go back into the pool and typically used to fund further companies.
Yep.
It might have been in the past more commonly that the investors, i.e. us in the pool, would get paid out a special dividend.
Yep.
But that's really become a thing of the past. And from speaking to other fund managers in the market, they don't expect these kind of big special dividends. So you're losing the exposure, I suppose.
The upside exposure, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're also might be taking similar, and they are all high risk categories by the FCA, so they're all in the same risk category, but you might actually be taking higher risk categories, higher risk because you are getting involved in early stage businesses as well.
I agree. What are the questions then? I know you had a myriad of questions.
Yes, yeah. I liked the one, a really common one that maybe we'd like to delve into further at future events especially, is, well, what types of companies do you actually invest in and why? And I thought, Ben,
that's great that people are wanting to get to that level. Yeah. What the events were, very broad kind of overarching view of different types of tax-free investment. So people wanting to get into that level of kind of granularity is great.
Yeah. Well, I think that if you think you're an advisor, you're essentially a salesman yourself. And I think when you were talking about EIS, you definitely going to want to get involved in talking about this level of detail because it's so exciting.
Yep.
You always say to me, Liv, does it pass the golf course test?
Yep.
Are your clients going to go down to the golf course and talk about these types of investments? And I can tell you with EIS they will, because it is kind of real life Dragon's Den.
It is.
I love those questions, like you say, because it just allows us to go, you know, into the real detail. Ben Carter did a great job of covering that in his podcast. So if you haven't listened to that podcast, go back. I feel like an influencer.
Excellent. Good work.
So I won't go into detail of that. But then the final question was around, okay, well, what really is the importance of deployment?
Yep.
And I think that comes back to what I was just saying about advisors being able to actually tell the story of what these companies are. If you're a fund manager and you don't know when you're going to deploy the money, they say 12 to 18 months, which you can appreciate is quite broad. It's typically because they don't know what they're going to invest in.
Yep.
They still need to go out and find it, right? So, and it's the beauty of DeepBridge, and it really does it genuinely excites me being able to tell, to ask people, okay, well, what are you interested in? What are your clients interested in? What businesses do they work in?
Yeah.
Because we could probably find a company in our portfolio that is an aligning in their interests or in their culture or
that
their religion.
Understand and kind of bring it to life what they're investing in as a portfolio.
Yeah, exactly. And then I think that's when you get that next level of buy-in and you want to follow these companies to the point when they exit and you get excited about that journey that they're on. But the obvious benefits of deployment are, well, you need your certificate, your EIS3 certificate that you only get once that money is deployed.
Yep.
And just to be really simple, because everyone goes, what do you mean by deployment? Deployment is literally the money goes into those startup.
And those companies issue the shares. That's the
exactly,
important thing, isn't it?
Exactly. And that certificate that you get will only happen once it's deployed.
Yep.
And at that point, you can claim your tax release. So it's harder. It's a tricky sell to say to people, okay, invest 100 grand today, you're going to get 30 grand income tax relief, but you might not do it in this tax year or maybe not even next tax year. We don't know. Whereas DeepBridge can say, well, we target monthly deployments. So we can tell you what it is.
So that must have been quite interesting, you at these events, alongside peers in the market, but still having a USP to talk against them. That's
Do you know, and I'm not sure if they'll thank me for saying this, but they do have a lot of advisors that say, look, deployment time's really important to me. Yeah. And they've said quite openly to both of us, and in that case, I recommend DeepBridge.
Yeah. Brilliant. Good.
And it's happened already. We've seen in the Sanium events, because we're in that time of the tax year now, where people are thinking, well, what if I haven't paid 30 grand in tax this year, but I want to invest 100 grand? Then I need to carry part of that back into the previous tax year using the carryback facility. So, damn, I've actually really got to hurry up and get this invested. DeepBridge are going to be the only one on the level that we are at. Yep. As a top five provider to facilitate that. Something you can tell I'm proud about.
Oh, you're getting all the USPs in today, Liv. This is good. So, you know, in terms of the interaction from advisors, was there kind of any pushback from anybody there? Was anybody there who was kind of still kind of nervous about tax efficient investments or uncertain? Or was it kind of a rallying call to a lot of advisors?
Yeah, I think you're always going to get that mixed bag. It's funny how quickly you forget the questions that are asked at the events. But I really like it when advisors challenge us because that's what we were there for.
Yep.
That's why we did these events. And it's likely that if one advisor sat in the audience thinking, I'm not sure about that, I'm not comfortable about that, you know, what's the process was a big one. What actually happens when these companies exit? How are you going to help me store these certificates? What if I lose them? Those kind of questions are great questions, because it's likely that other advisors are sat there thinking the same thing.
Absolutely.
And we want to be able to explain these things. We're there to help, you know, to support and educate.
I think it's important to say as well that, you know, that the format of the day was that you had five presenters presenting on different product types. So you had unquoted BR, you had AIM BR, you had corporate BR, you had VCTs, and you had EIS.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that we were all pitching and fighting over kind of the same themes, the same topics. We were very much trying to be collaborative about how we talked about these products.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that worked really well. The contextual issues that we were all talk about relate to all of the products as well. Yeah. So, you know, you can just sort of refer back and collaborate in that way, reaffirm.
So go on, Liv, throw me some stats. So how many advisors registered to attend these events?
Yeah, so I think we had over 750 advisors across 11 events it was in total. Yeah, 11 different cities. We had nearly 500 people, attendees, our advisors actually attend, which is an incredible conversion rate. And we actually did a survey and worked out net promoter scores at the
end.
Excellent.
A worldwide kind of metric for working out how well an event or a product or a service is regarded. And how did we do?
Yeah, I think it's important to not only judge ourselves within our industry as well, but globally and against all events. So they said that anything above 53 was classed as a world-class event globally. And we got 55, so something that we're really chuffed at. 96% of attendees rated the event 7 out of 10 or above.
Awesome. That's brilliant. So the feedback has been fantastic. And you know, the question I keep getting from people is, are we going to do similar events again? I mean, can you shed any light on that? Is that still to be decided?
It might kill me. But yeah. No, for sure. Of course I want to do it again. Yeah. And I'm just thinking now is what we're going to do differently. I want to keep the level of excitement and kind of informality, but also I want to do it at a really cool venue with something like the stadium tours that we did.
Yep.
So now's our time to go back to the drawing board. And
yeah, I think there was some partisan kind of people who didn't want to attend because we were, in their eyes, the wrong stadium. Yeah. So yeah, that's...
I won't make that mistake again, God.
Well, you know...
We made the rookie error of going to Manchester but not Liverpool.
Different cities. That's a whole different... never mind upsetting the City fans by going to Old Trafford. You also didn't go to Liverpool. So I'm just glad we went to Hampden Park in Glasgow and not Rangers or Celtic.
So
this has all been about education for advisors around tax, fish and investments. What other educations out there for advisors that are wanting to learn more, or you know, what other resources are out there for advisors?
Yeah, so much. And we appreciate that some advisors may never have considered this kind of investment before.
Yep.
And that's kind of our opportunity to step in and help and really shine. Any of the fund managers there will be able to support and all provide different levels of literature. But I'm obviously going to flog my online series that I do, which I do EIS the basics, EIS the advanced, and a business relief the basics as well. And we do this every Friday, kind of on rotation, I think, for the entire year this year. At the moment, we're doing the advanced series, half an hour every Friday, CPD as well, just as an extra touch. And if you, I think I could quite confidently say that if you completed both the basics and advanced series, you'd be in a much more comfortable decision to make, to make decisions with your clients. And then we're looking to expand that into a DeepBush Academy.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to be able to provide advisors with literally everything they would need to onboard this kind of product, which we hope to release next year.
That's the plan. Yeah, that'll be exciting, trying to bring all educational pieces together into one place, so that whether it be webinars, whether it be events, whether it be guides, whether it be literature, whatever it might be that they need to support them, that'll be very exciting, and hopefully our advisors will appreciate that and enjoy the content as well. So what are your top tips for advisors then?
So I think ultimately, get to know your fund manager. Mm-hmm. Ask to meet the investment managers. Those are the people who are actually investing your clients' money. And that's what I would do if it was me.
I guess understanding how they tick, and as well as kind of the form process, but also their kind of, you know, are they level-headed guys? Are they sensible guys? That kind of thing.
Yeah. Exactly. How much experience do they have? What kind of things do they look for? Going back to that earlier question, is all really important. And I think... ask as well, what kind of questions would we ask as a fund manager, as DeepBridge, when you're considering that particular product, and ask our competitors about what they would ask about us as well. Yep. I think that can be really illuminating. But the other top tip would be, you know, don't simply discount this product as a kind of high risk, as I've mentioned, if it is in the best interest of the client. You would run the potential risk of losing that client, as because other advisors obviously do offer these products. We know they do because they come to us. And then the final point would just be going back to the events, challenges. You know, use these events as an opportunity to challenge the experts. 5 on the panels, unique, and come to us.
Yeah, brilliant. So obviously you've been mad busy. You've been all around the country, up and down the motorways. Really sad spending most of your time working. I know that. But you know, part of these podcasts is to bring to life the people behind DeepBridge. So kind of, what are your interests away from work when you do find some time?
What are interests? No, I do work an obscene amount. But you
love it.
Yeah, I do love it. I genuinely do love it. But yeah, I was just about to say, I love going on dog walks, but Oshan knows that I always call him when I'm on a walk. It's about work. So, yeah, skiing. Okay. I'm going skiing on in a few weeks. He knows because I've been showing him my ski goggles and everything that I keep next to my office.
Yeah.
I love skiing. I look forward to it all year round. I just wish I had a bit more time to go. Just it's a curse that end of tax year follows after the best season, the winter season. But it wouldn't be, I wouldn't be working for Deepbridge if I didn't enjoy a couple of glasses of wine or just a couple.
Good. And then the question we ask everyone on the Deepbridge Discovery podcast about the Deepbridge dinner party.
Yes.
So you can invite three guests, dead or alive, no friends or family, because we don't want to annoy anybody that we don't invite. So who would you be inviting and why?
Well, I was going to speak to you about this because it's the act, what I understand is that it's dead, one alive and one fictional. That's how you do it.
Not the Deepbridge Discovery podcast.
Okay. Okay.
Invite whoever you want.
Okay. Can I do fictional? Yeah, only because I want to invite Tommy Shelby. Okay.
Do you want me to ask that question again?
No. Keep that in.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's going to have to be Michelle Obama.
Okay.
You wouldn't believe how many times her saying, if they go low, you go high, helps.
Okay.
I have it in the back of my mind constantly. So it's got to be Michelle.
Yeah.
Stevie Nicks.
Okay, brilliant.
Because she would sing to me and also just want to see her twirling around the dinner table.
Awesome.
And then, yeah, Tommy Shelby, my fictional one.
Nice. So why Tommy Shelby?
Him.
Okay, that's fair enough. So Stevie Nicks would be doing the post-dinner entertainment as well, would she?
Yeah. It was between her and Freddie Mercury, but it's got to be Stevie.
I have to say, disappointingly, on this podcast so far, we do have a huge majority of men that are mentioned, not women. So I think Stevie Nicks being there is going some way to levelling the books there. But
and Michelle.
And Michelle's obviously, she's
levelling it up.
Indeed. But no. Right, brilliant. Thank you very much for your time, Liv.
Thanks,
really appreciate
Andrew.
Catching up with you and looking forward to future events. And
me too.
Hopefully everyone's going to keep posted ready for those.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. If there's any topics you'd like covering in future podcasts, please email us at discovery@deepbridgecapital.com. This podcast was brought to you by Deepbridge Capital LLP. Deepbridge is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. Please note that investments discussed are both illiquid and high risk and won't be suitable for all investors and should be considered as part of a diversified portfolio. The content of this podcast should not be construed as financial or taxation advice. We recommend investors seek appropriate professional financial advice. Any views expressed may no longer be current and may have already been acted upon.